began to study these two texts, looking at from one man sin came and from another salvation came, I had to ask, what is salvation? And I realized as I did this looking at salvation is not just going to heaven when we die. You ever got that thought that salvation comes because you make it in? Salvation is not just going to heaven when we die. Salvation is deliverance from the power and penalty of sin and restoration into a right relationship with God. That's what we're looking for, is to be restored, to be made whole, to be in a right relationship. Salvation. The deliverance from the power and penalty of sin, which we're all under, in being restored to a right relationship with God. Salvation means, my brothers and sisters, being forgiven, being reconciled, being made new, and being transformed. You can't have it if you're missing some of those. If you're not forgiven, there's no salvation. If there's no reconciliation with God, there is no salvation. If you've not been transformed or been made new, there is no salvation. So you see, it's not merely a rescue from something, but salvation is a restoration of someone. Y'all realize the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, defined salvation as far more than a moment. For John Wesley, it was a process of grace. Remember, we looked at the graces. We looked at that prevenient grace, that grace that goes before, that grace that's God reaching for us before we even reach for Him. That justifying grace, when we respond to in faith and forgiven, when we respond in faith that we are forgiven and declared righteous, Christ that justifying just for us. As we move into that sanctifying grace, that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit transforming us into the image of Christ. But it's a process that is always flowing. Wesley says salvation is not just deliverance from hell. It is the holiness of heart and life. It is being renewed in the image of God. Being forgiven, being reconciled, being made new, being transformed. Again, salvation is the restoration of someone. Not merely a rescue from something. John Wesley looked at it like this. Salvation is both instant, when we are justified by faith, and it is a progressive as we're being sanctified daily. Salvation is what we're striving for, what we're working for, what we're looking to gain. And that only comes through Christ. Now let's really get into this thing, because I want to know, do you all understand what is temptation? Do you know what temptation, what do you know what temptation is? Do you know where we see temptation, or where do you see temptation? Anybody understand? Where do you see temptation? We see temptation everywhere, right? And it's even more so now that we have our phones. Temptation is right in the palm of your hand,
24/7.
Amen. True. You can turn on your television. Temptation is more prevalent now than it ever was. It's in our workplaces. Temptation, if you really want to know the truth, is even in our thoughts. So what is temptation? It is the enticement to do something contrary to God's will. Anybody have those desires? Don't raise your hand and don't nod your head. feels good or what seems beneficial. Temptation ultimately, though, leads us away from the obedience of God. Those senses that we've been given get us into trouble because what we see, we want. What feels good to us, what gives our tingly spirit, we want. But I need y'all to understand, temptation is not a sin. I got some lusts. Temptation is not a sin. What is a sin is giving in to temptation. Temptation is not a sin. Christ was tempted after 40 days of fasting, of suffering. He was tempted, but he did not give in. The sin comes when you give in to temptation. But the eyes see. But the mind conceives. When you put that into action, you begin to sin. In today's culture, temptation shows up as instant gratification, right? I want it now. Temptation shows up as power and control. I need to be in charge. Temptation shows up as self-sufficiency. I don't need God. It shows up as compromise. Just this once won't hurt. Temptation shows up as an image and approval. I need to look successful. Does any of that sound familiar to you? So let's really look at the text. Look at what happened with Jesus. If y'all give me a few moments, let's run down what he was tempted by. He was tempted by turn these stones to bread, right? When he just finished his 40 days of fasting and his stomach's growling and making that noise, you know how it is. The devil said, look, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Y'all realize this is the temptation of the appetite. This is a temptation of physical need and instant satisfaction. We understand Jesus could have done it, right? He had the power, but he refused to use divine power for selfish purposes. He answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Today, our stones to bread moments look like feeding emotional hunger and unhealthy habits. Filling spiritual emptiness with material things. Using shortcuts instead of trusting God's timing. Jesus teaches us that spiritual nourishment is greater than spirit, than physical gratification. Hence, he spent 40 days out in the wilderness fasting, denying the body so that the spirit would be strengthened. How many of y'all know? 2 days. We call them Miss Milk cramps, right? Can I get 3 minutes? Next temptation that the devil said was the temptation of the spectacle, the temptation of the leap. The devil took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, throw yourself down. God will catch you. Y'all realize this is the temptation of testing God and performing for attention. It's the temptation to prove oneself, to force God's hand, to chase validation. G. Jesus responds, "You shall not put the Lord God to the test." Today, this temptation, my brothers and sisters, would look like this or sounds like this. God, if you're real, prove it. Let me do something dramatic so that people will notice me. Faith should make life easier. But y'all understand, faith is not a spectacle, right? It's not about the spectacle. It's about trust. We then got to the kingdoms of the world, the temptation of power. Matthew says the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and offered them to him in exchange for worship. This is the temptation of power without the cross. The shortcut to glory. Jesus says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." If we had to look at this temptation today, it would look something like this. Choosing influence over integrity. Sacrificing values for advancement. Wanting crowns without crosses. Jesus rejected power gained through compromise. So how do we go from temptation, from that wilderness moment, to the garden, to salvation? Well, Paul tells us, he says something powerful in his Romans 5, 12 to 19. He said, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin." He was talking about Adam, right? In the Garden of Eden, Adam faced temptation at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, temptation was back, way back. We find the serpent said these words. Eat of this tree, right? You won't surely die. He said, you will be like God. If y'all notice what the serpent did and what the devil did, they all follow the same path, don't they? They are all the same pattern. There is an appetite. Eat of this fruit. This pride, you will not die. You will know. Empowered with that pride, you will be like God. And what happened? Adam's a game, right? And when Adam fell, humanity fell. When Adam disobeyed, death entered the world. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, just as through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so through the obedience of one man will many be made righteous. And we understand that one man to be Jesus. So when Adam failed in the garden, Jesus succeeded in the wilderness. Adam reached for fruit. Jesus resisted the fruit of temptation. Adam brought death, and Jesus brings life. So how, my brothers and sisters, do we move from temptation to salvation? I'm glad you asked. What I need you all to understand, temptation is not the end of the story. Salvation is. And we attain salvation through repentance, turning away from sin. By having faith, trusting in Christ's finished work. By surrender, allowing Christ to rule our lives. I think that's one of the hardest ones, right? We don't want somebody to tell us what to do. We don't want somebody to take charge and control over us. have to surrender. We got to be obedient. We got to follow Christ's teaching, not our own understanding. And we need to participate in grace. We need to participate in prayer, scripture, worship, community, and service. Y'all realize salvation is a gift, right? It's a gift, but it has to be received. The gift can be there, but if you never accept it, it's just there. We can't earn it, but we can respond to it. You can't earn salvation. It's a gift that you can accept. So when we follow Christ's example in the wilderness, when we resist temptation, when we grow spiritually, when we allow sanctifying grace to shape us, we're getting salvation. When we follow Christ's example and we answer temptation with scripture, we choose obedience over impulse, we worship God alone and we trust God's timing. When we refuse shortcuts to compromise our faith, we're gaining salvation. When Christ's teachings work in us, we grow stronger in spiritual discipline. The church becomes a place of integrity. We move from survival to sanctification. We become wicks that obedience leads to life. Romans 5 tells us that grace abounds more than sin. Can y'all believe that? Do you believe that grace abounds more than sin? Y'all are part of this morning. Y'all understand temptation is the most common thing. It is common to be tempted. But grace is greater than temptation. When Adam brought condemnation, Christ brings justification. Where sin brought death, Christ brings righteousness. Where temptation tried to destroy, salvation is sure. My brothers and sisters, individually, we will face temptation. But I want you all to know, we won't face it alone. Corporately, as a church, we must resist the temptation to be popular over faithful. We must resist the temptation of being comfortable, over committed. We must resist the temptation of being entertaining over transformative. When we allow Christ to work through us, our choices reflect obedience. Our witness reflects righteousness. Our lives reflect resurrection power. When we move from the wilderness of temptation to the victory of salvation, that, my brothers and sisters, is the journey from temptation to salvation.